We're at Psalms 100. We were reading that together. I'm going to turn this right there. Psalms 100. According to Psalms 100, verse 4 says, "Give thanks to Him," that is the Lord, "bless His name." According to that scripture, who is thanks to be given to? Okay? The Lord. The Lord is to be given thanks to. He's to be given thanks for what? Why is He to be given thanks to? Ron? For He is good. He is to be given thanks for He is good. And what else? Julie? Because His loving kindness is everlasting. And what else? Micah? His faithfulness is to all generations. We are to be thankful for the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, but we are not to be thankful to the mercy and to the goodness. We're to be thankful to God for the goodness and the mercy. Because mercy and faithfulness and goodness does not stand alone in things. Goodness and faithfulness are things that people do, not things that things do. Gratitude is to be given to people for their character and their behavior and their gifts to you, their treatment of you. It's people who treat people kindly. It's not kindness that floats around. So we don't just thank kindness. We thank people for their kindness. We thank God for His goodness. We don't just thank goodness. You heard the phrase? Thank goodness. No, thank God for His goodness. This is an important distinction for us to draw out in our minds tonight and get real strong in. So we just don't thank goodness. We thank God for His goodness. Because all goodness comes from His hand. So we are grateful to God for goodness in our lives. We're grateful to God, thankful to God for mercy to us. Follow what I'm saying? It's something that we receive from God. It's not just something that is in and of itself, floats around and we are to be thankful for. It doesn't exist outside of God. Okay? Can you think of some reasons? Well, let's look at some of the reasons you have down there. What are some of the reasons? What are some of the things that you were thankful to God for? Some of the things, not people, some of the things you were thankful to God for that you named on your list. Whatever you've got on the right-hand side where God is one of the answers, and the left-hand side is a thing, not a person, I want you just to cut it off like popcorn. One each, just go ahead, just one at a time each and then in turn. Go. The Bible? The car.
Discipline of the Lord. Answered prayer.
What? Free will. Mercy. Food.
Time to study God's word.
Time to study God's word.
Trials.
Thank the Lord for trials. Not thankful for trials, but thank the Lord for trials. Isn't that different?
Yeah.
No, I'm not picking on you. I'm saying I'm taking what you said and bringing it out to where we look at it. And we understood what you said because I asked you, what are you thanking the Lord for? And you said trials, and that's exactly where we fit. But we thank the Lord for the trials. That's what the scripture says, huh? Mm-hmm. Thank Him for the trials. What else? Is anybody else named that they are thankful for? Thankful to God for?
God leading me on.
God leading? Okay.
Sunshine.
Stephanie, do you have an answer?
My school.
Your school. Thank God for your school? Okay. Micah?
Second chance.
Thank God for a second chance. Not just thankful for a second chance. Thank God for a second chance. Ron, thank God for the truth. Jenny, you want to name one? Thank God for Gospel Truth Fellowship. Okay. Michelle, you got some more? Thank God for your family. Okay. That's different than saying I'm thankful for my family. Thank God for my family. Pat?
Thank God for instruction
to his people. Okay? Well, Micah? Fellowshipping with others. I thank God for fellowshipping with others. Okay? Jimmy? Friends. You thank God for friends? Thank God for friends. Okay? Ron?
I'm thankful that I have the knowledge of my sin.
Thank God for the knowledge of your sin. Stephanie?
Yeah.
Thank God for your cat. Micah? Yes, you got.
Place to live.
Thank God for a place to live. Megan, you have something there? Thank God for the freedom we have in our country. Julie, have any more? Thank God for God's love. Okay. Thank God for conversion. Okay, do you need anybody to name a person on the left-hand side? Okay, name that person and who you are thankful for that person. Raise your hand and you to have persons. Pat, name a person.
My pastor.
And who are you thankful to for your pastor?
The Lord.
Okay, thankful to the Lord for your pastor. Who else has a person that you're thankful for? And you want to name that person and who you're thankful to for that person. Michelle? Mm-hmm. Thankful to Jesus. For Jesus?
I'm thankful for Jesus. Thankful to God
for Jesus. Okay. Thankful to God for Jesus, his son. Guy?
The Holy Spirit.
You're thankful for the Holy Spirit? Who are you thankful to for the Holy Spirit?
God.
Thankful to God for the Holy Spirit. Stephanie, who are you thankful for? Who are you thankful to for your teacher? Thankful to God for your teacher? Okay. If you're thankful to God for your teacher, Stephanie, are you? Then that would mean that you would obey her because God sent your teacher to you, huh? Wouldn't it? So, are you thankful to God for your teacher? Then if it's a gift from God, what are you going to do when your teacher gives you instruction? Obey it, because it's God's gift, isn't it? Right? Okay. Does that follow? Does that make sense? Okay. Anything that God gives us, we're to be thankful for, and therefore are we to use it in the way he sends it to us. Is that not true? Anybody not see that? If God gives you something, and you're thankful for it, are we not obligated to use it for the reason that God gave it to us? If you agree with that, put up your hand. If you don't agree with that, put your hands down. If you don't agree with that, put up your hand, and we'll work on that till we'll see if you can agree with that or not. Anybody disagree with that? Okay. Disagree with that? Okay.
Well, depending on what you're referring to. Like, I put neighbor, and I'm not going to obey every neighbor because I'm thankful
okay.
for my neighbor.
Do you think God gave you your neighbors for you to obey them?
No, I thought that's what you said.
No, I said, let me say it again.
Okay.
If God gives us something, are we not to use that something for the reason that he gave it to us? If God gives us neighbors, the reason he gives us neighbors must be a reason. So should we not cooperate and work in harmony with the reason God gives us neighbors?
Whatever that reason is.
Okay, what is the reason God gives us neighbors?
To love them.
Okay. So if we don't love our neighbor, and God gives us neighbors, We're supposed to be thankful for what God gives us. If we don't love our neighbor, then we're not receiving, really with thankfulness, what God has given us. Follow that?
I thought you said obey.
No. In Stephanie's case, a teacher is given to us, and we must follow their instruction. But neighbors are given to us not to obey them, but to love them. Teachers are given to us to follow their instruction. Pastors are given to us for various reasons. So if God gives you a pastor and you're thankful for that pastor, then aren't we under obligation to be in harmony with the reason God would give you a pastor? Okay. If God gives you a spouse, aren't you under obligation and duty bound to cooperate with God's purposes for having a spouse? Everybody agree with that? Pretty clear cut, I think. Now, what's God's purpose in giving you a spouse, you who have the spouses? Well, he tells us in Ephesians, for one place. But to be thankful to God for a spouse, to be thankful to God for a teacher, to be thankful to God for a pastor, to be thankful to God for an employer, to be thankful to God for any person requires us to receive them in the purpose and intent that God gives them to us. We can't resist them and be thankful for them to God, can we? So if we're going to be thankful to God for a person that God has placed in our lives, we need to receive them for the intent that God gives them to us. Okay? Anybody else have persons that you're thankful for and who you're thankful to? Julie? Thankful for your family? Who are you thankful to? Okay. Thankful to God for your family. Pat? Thankful to God for people in your life that show you the love of God. It is a gift from God. Anybody else have a person that you would like to share with us that you're thankful for, who you're thankful to for that? Do you see that? Clear. We must make it very clear that we are to be thankful for things or even some people, but we are to be thankful to someone for that. Things don't drop out of the air, they don't grow out of the ground, except by some person. This world is a world based on personality. There's a person behind every good thing. Every good thing is produced by a person. Not by some accidental force. It just sort of accidentally gets together and produces something. It's God, the person of God is behind everything that is. Every good thing comes down from the Father of lights, the scripture says. All good things. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Okay. Let's go to the New Testament. Anybody else have some more things that you want to share before we move on? Things that you're thankful for and persons that you're thankful to in regards to those. Did you cover them all? Is some of you duplicates? Okay. Thankful to God for people who challenge you. Okay. Thankful for people who challenge you.
Not in a bad sense.
I understand. Challenge you to growth and challenge you to move on, mature and such. Okay. Thankful to God for people. You're thankful for people who challenge you to growth and maturity, and you give God the thanks for that person. Okay? That greatly alters the kind of gratitude you have for people who would challenge you, for family, for things, for a place to live. When you realize that it is God that is to be thanked for it. God is to receive the things. It's thanks to God for these things. And when we look at that, and if it is God that we are to be thankful to for things that we have, it is God that has made our body. We're to be thankful to God for the bodies that we have. And He's made our bodies for a particular purpose. So if our hearts are filled with gratitude to God for giving us the body that we have, then we are to live in conjunction with, in harmony with, the purpose that He had in giving it to us. Isn't that true? So we could not conceivably, having gratitude to God, take the body He's given us that we're to be thankful for and use it contrary to why He gave it to us. And really be thankful to God for it. Unless we are thankful to God for giving us something that we use contrary to His will. Imagine that. Somebody saying, I'm thankful to God for giving me a body that I can follow after my lust, use it to steal, use it to lie. I'm so thankful God gave me a body that I can use for my own pleasure, my own gratification, my own lust. Isn't that peculiar? Wouldn't that be peculiar if you heard somebody talk like that? What kind of a mind, what kind of a heart would be in a person who would say, I'm so thankful for this good body and its strength, so I can use it just for my own pleasure. Something's missing there in that formula. Isn't it? I mean, if you gave somebody a gift, think of it. If you gave somebody a gift for the specific purpose that they're to take this gift and do a particular thing with it, and they turn around and abuse it and use it just contrary to what you gave it to them for, what would you think? What would you think if you gave your child something that he needed for his good and he took it and he did harm to his siblings with it? And he specifically knew you gave it to him for this reason and he took it and used it just in vagrant violation of the purpose that you gave it to him. What kind of hesitation would you start to have to give that child another good gift with the instructions of why you give it to them? When you see what they do with a gift that you gave them, you gave them for a particular reason, and you see what they did with it, what disregard you can see they have for you, for your will, what disregard they have for your purposes for them and why you would give it to them. Wouldn't that be a trial to your mind? To be giving gifts to your children, to people that you care about, that you love, that's in your life, and you give it to them for a particular reason. You give your child the tuition for college, and he takes the tuition, and he goes off and buys a car and says he's heading off to Hollywood to be a movie star. That's a strain on relationship. That's a real strain on relationship. Where is that relationship going to go after that? Where's that relationship going to go when that child calls home and says, Dad, I need another $5,000? For what? Well, so go to college. Oh, really? How do I know that you're going to take it and do so? How can I trust you to do so? See, with that kind of treatment of something that was given for a particular purpose, you put a strain on the relationship because of going contrary to the will of the person that gave it to you. Well, God gives us our life. He gives us our health. He gives us our strength. He gives us our mind. He gives us our free will. But for one particular purpose. That we may obey His commands and love our neighbor and love God and do His will. He gives us all things necessary to fulfill His purpose for our life. And to use all that God gives us for any other purpose than that, just flagrant disobedience, flagrant disregard for God's purposes. It is like calling God a fool. It is to so disregard God's wisdom in the gift that He gives you, the good things that He gives you, for the purposes that He has for you. For you to take them and use them for other, some other purpose is virtually to say, God, the purpose I'm going to use them for is much better than the purpose you had in mind. Your purposes are crazy. Mine's better than yours, so I'm going to use them for a better purpose. The sinner is saying that. I'm going to take what you've given me, use it for myself. And virtually saying, the reason you gave them to me isn't a good enough reason. I've got a better idea. It's calling God foolish for giving them for the purpose He gave them. You see that? So to be thankful, you know, we're at this time of Thanksgiving. We're to be thankful all the time to God for all these good things, all these great blessings that God gives us. Let's look at some passages in the New Testament that are worth us looking at tonight for our instruction. Turn to 2 Corinthians 9:15 to start with. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Very short verse. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Very short verse. Let's watch for our formula here. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Kim, would you read that out loud, please? What is being thanked for? What is thanks being given for? Kim? Who is thanks being given to, Julie? God is thanked for His indescribable gift. It's not just enough to be thankful for the indescribable gift. We have to thank God for it because it's His indescribable gift. Let's turn to Colossians. Book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. Colossians 1, 3. Megan, do you have that? Mm-hmm. Would you read that, please?
Yes. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
Okay. Thank my God. I'm sorry, I'm in Colossians. I'm in Philippians. Colossians 1, 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to chapter 2 of Colossians. Verse 7 is an expression of gratitude. Look how much gratitude. Colossians 2:7. Micah, do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you read that, please?
Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you have spoken, and overflowing with gratitude.
Overflowing with gratitude. What can you recall as your most grateful moment? And it might be said that you were overflowing with gratitude. Isn't that quite a picture? Like Niagara Falls. Overflowing with gratitude. More than a person could contain. More gratitude towards another person than they could really contain. Paul says to Timothy, he says in the last days, he says difficult times will come, men shall be lovers of pleasure, etc., etc. And one of the things he says is that people will be ungrateful. Ungrateful. Whatever good things they may receive, there'd just be no gratitude for it. They just take it in stride as though it's owed to them. They don't give any recognition to a person who would exercise benevolence, energy, self-denial to provide it to them. No recognition of the goodness that comes from God to all men. He's even kind to ungrateful and evil men, Jesus says. That our Father is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Colossians chapter 3. Let's watch for the thank word. Verses 15, 16, and 17. Colossians 3. 15, 16, and 17. Michelle, would you read those so that we can follow along and listen as you read?
And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, so that you can be called in one body and be thankful. Let the word of Christ live to dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
Three verses, three references to being thankful or giving thanks. Verse 15, what is being thankful connected with, do you think, in verse 15? Guy? It seems to be that we are to be thankful in the context of the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. And being thankful that we are all called into one body where the peace of God rules. The peace of Christ rules. He rules in his body. We're to be thankful for that. Church is God's idea, as Brother Daniel said. We're to be thankful for the peace of Christ that's in the body of Christ and being a part of the body of Christ. We're to be thankful for that. Okay? Be thankful. Verse 16. What is thankfulness connected with? Micah. Well, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That would have a stepping stone to a more direct reference later in the verse. Micah? That's still another stepping stone. Keep going. One more. Singing with thankfulness. Now we might say that we are to be admonishing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness as well, secondarily, but very specifically it's connected to singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That our singing is to be thankful singing to God. See that? So we're to be thankful for the peace of Christ that rules in the body of Christ, in one body. We're to be singing and expressing ourselves with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And now 17. What is that connected with? What does it seem like to you that thanks is connected with or is about? Micah? Connected with the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to who in that verse? Micah? God the Father. Giving thanks to God the Father through who? Through whom? Megan? Him. Him who? The Lord Jesus. Okay? So our thanksgiving is to be given to God the Father. It's to be given through His Son, the Lord Jesus. So lots of thanksgiving and thankfulness expressed here to the believers in Colossians, the city of Colossae. So thankfulness is something that believers are to do and be and have in their hearts to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Being thankful that they're in one body and where the peace of Christ rules. Are you thankful there is the body of Christ? Do you have value for the body of Christ? Is it valuable to you? Something that you would thank God for? Okay. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. What is thanksgiving connected? What is thanksgiving connected with there? What is thanksgiving connected with there? Him? Connected with prayer. In what way is this connected with prayer? In what way is thanksgiving to be connected with prayer? Julie, how does it read to you?
That when we pray, that we're kind of offered thanksgiving.
Okay. When prayer is offered up, in devotion, in alertness, there's to be an attitude of thanksgiving in the heart. See that? Okay, you mark that in there. Prayer is to also have an attitude of thanksgiving. That would certainly eliminate grumbling and murmuring when a person prays, would it not? No complaining when there's thanksgiving in the heart, an attitude of thanksgiving. There could not be any prayer that would have grumbling or complaining or murmuring if there's an attitude of thanksgiving. So we are instructed to have an attitude of thanksgiving, therefore we know that there's no place for murmuring or complaining in prayer. Yeah, in conjunction with that, right next to that, you might want to put Philippians 4:6. We'll read Philippians 4:6. This also has to do with prayer. Philippians 4:6. Turn back from Colossians. Turn left. Philippians 4:6. In this statement, what does Paul say regarding thanksgiving and prayer? Micah? Okay, that's all in conjunction with thanksgiving. Want to say it another way? Anybody want to say it another way? Prayer, supplication is to be made with what? Kim? Thanksgiving, giving of thanks. Be anxious, have anxiety for nothing. But in everything, let your request be made known to God by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. That is instruction to be put into practice. The next time you think of praying, pray with supplication. Pray and supplicate with thanksgiving. To supplicate means to ask for your supply, to ask for your need. Do it with thanksgiving. That's a challenge, isn't it? To do it with thanksgiving. At the testing, when anxiety could be involved, be anxious for nothing. When you offer up your prayer and supplication, do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God in all things. Thanksgiving to God for this opportunity to be tried and tested. Thanksgiving to God because it will work for your develop your character. Thanksgiving to God for this opportunity to call upon His promises. Thanksgiving to God for His promises being made available to us. Thanksgiving to God. Does it not say that? In all things? How many things are excluded under all things? None are excluded. That's right. So there's no prayers and supplication to be made without thanksgiving. Now this is to be put into practice. This is not a doctrine of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving isn't a doctrine. It's an attitude that we're to have in prayer. When we pray, we're to have, with thanksgiving, an attitude of thanksgiving when we pray. The difference in this kind of look is that when we pray, we're not looking for a gift. We're talking to the giver. When you pray for just a gift, then you're just looking to add something to yourself. But when you're praying to the giver, you're taking into recognition that He gives all things good and that we are to be thankful for everything that He does. He does all things well. He does things in wisdom and love. There's no reason to go and complain to the giver when you pray. But when you're praying just for the gift and not with the giver in mind, then you would address it differently because you're not thinking of a person. You're just thinking of something that you would like to have. And you might be prone to be ungrateful because you're just thinking of something you don't have. But when you're looking to the giver in prayer with thanksgiving, you would have to approach it differently than just be disgruntled or feeling that you're without something you would like to have. You're talking to a person who already knows your need, who already knows that you need food and shelter. And he already knows all the necessities for your life on the natural as well as the necessities for your character and the development of your soul. So you're calling upon a person that you can be thankful is there because He reigns in righteousness. He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. So you can be thankful that this is the God that we can pray to, because we can pray with thanksgiving that this is the character of God that calls upon us to call upon His name. Okay, we're going to turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to look at quite a remarkable subject of thanksgiving. Quite remarkable, quite challenging. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Guy, would you read that out loud, please?
We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers.
Verse 3 also.
constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father.
Okay. Paul gives thanks. Paul, Silas, and Timothy give thanks to God for what? According to verse 2. Paul and Silas and Timothy give thanks to God for what? Julie? The Church of the Thessalonians. All right. That's true. But in his phraseology, it's a little bit more personal. Is it not? Than to say the church? How does he word it exactly, Kim?
For all of you.
For all of you. They are the body of Christ. They're a portion of the body of Christ there. But he is referring to them in a personal level. He's just not thankful that there's a church there. He says, give thanks to God always for all of you. Now, what's his basis for giving thanks to God for all of them? What does he say that he has in mind when he gives thanks to God for all of them? Pat?
Their work of faith. And their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope.
Okay. Would you not find that a basis for being thankful for people? Would you be thankful for a person who you could remember and constantly keep in mind their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope? Now abideth faith, hope, and love. Think of this remarkable statement that you're reading. Paul says that he constantly keeps in mind their work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you imagine that would consist in? If you were a member of the body of Christ in Thessalonica, and you were one of those all, the people that Paul was thinking of, that he gave thanks to God for, and he says that you were a person that he knew about, that they had a work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. If that was true of you, what do you think that would mean? Can it be said of you? Can it be said that when people have you in mind, that they're thankful to God that when they have you in mind, they have in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, your hope? I think people would be able to realistically have that in mind when they think of you. Imagine that Paul says that he gives thanks to God for all of them. Because all of them, he remembers and thinks of them that way. What an incredible revelation to us of the character of the believers in Thessalonica. Wouldn't you be thankful to God to know people like that? Wouldn't you be thankful to know of a whole group of people who are like that? And yet they were not really any different than we are in terms of the capability and the promises of God and the provisions of God to live that way, to be that. We are just as capable, we have just as much provision from God, we have just as much of the promises of God available to us to be a people, to be, have a work of faith and labor of love and hope, and to be known for it, and for people to be thankful that they know, to know that about you. Now, I submit to you that the absence of those qualities in a person is the absence of reasons why people would be thankful to God for you. What do you think people think of when they think of you? Do you think that they have reasons when they think of you to say, I thank God for them and their faith and their love and their hope that they have? Wouldn't it be wonderful on Thanksgiving Day tomorrow for your mind, as it reflects upon people that you know, to have people that you can say, I thank God for them. Thank God for their life and their relationship to God and their love and their faith and their hope. It's, to me, extremely remarkable that in the New Testament we see repeated thankfulness given to God for the people that they know, not for the things that they have. People that they know, not the possessions, not the houses and lands and monies, but the people they knew. In 1 Thessalonians, let's turn over to chapter 3, verse 9. Grasp this. Realize what Paul is saying. Chapter 3, verse 9. Kim, would you read that, please? On account of those people, Paul says they had such great joy. And he kind of thinks out loud, what thanks would be adequate to express our joy when we think of you on your account? We rejoice before our God with such joy on your account. We really... the thanksgiving that we have when we think of you and the joy that we have. The joy is so full. He's saying, we really can't express to God the gratitude for having such fullness of joy when we think of you people. Isn't that remarkable? These are insights into relationships that people had and what they thought of one another because of their faith and their love and their hope in Christ between. This is what they value. This is what they praise. This is what they thank God for. This is what they were full of joy for. And joy with. And this must challenge us to raise up our sights as to what the Church of Jesus Christ really is and what we are to be in the Church of Jesus Christ. To recognize that's the real treasure in the Church of Jesus Christ is the people and the confidence in one another's love and one another's faith. You really empty out causes for people to rejoice when they think of other people, when they think of them and their unfaithfulness and their emptiness of love. And when people think of another person who professes to be a Christian and they can't think in terms of their faithfulness and their love and their labor of love and such as that, they can't gather together a thankfulness to God with such a joy of knowing them and thinking of them. This was Paul's great delight, is knowing that people were continuing to love God and trust Him and love one another. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Same group of people. Now, more of the same, only greater. First, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, again. Second Thessalonians 1:3. Megan, do you have that? Would you read that out loud, please? What was Paul's reason, he said, for giving thanks for them? It says he ought always to give thanks to God for you. And why did he say he should do that? Julie?
Because they have much faith and their love for each other is growing.
Okay. Micah? Because it's only fitting that he should give thanks. And it is only fitting because, again, Julie?
The faith is growing larger and the love of one another.
Okay. I liked your second rendition rather than the first. Because he really is not saying you've got much love. He says your love is getting larger and larger towards one another. It's expanding, it's growing, it's developing, it's maturing. He just really doesn't say you've got a lot of it. He says you've got an ever-increasing amount of in your faith. It's greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you towards one another grows ever greater. It's only fitting that people should give thanks for knowing people like that and for them, isn't it? Paul is pointing us to realize that when we know people whose faith and love is growing and enlarging, that we are to be thankful for them. It's only fitting that we're thankful for them, not to be envious of them, not to be jealous of them, not to be in competition with them. But it's fitting to be thankful that we know people whose faith and love is growing and growing and enlarging itself. Again, he's thankful for the character of the people and their growth in faith and love. Our culture really points us to be thankful for things and to measure by things and to measure our blessings by things, possessions, money, material things. Our culture is, you walk over to Lucky's and out front, you know, the big squirt machine, you buy Cokes and stuff. You know what it says out front? Obey your thirst. Our whole culture is directed towards indulging of your appetites and thinking in terms of your possession. And whether your possessions show off better than somebody else's possessions, whether you look better, whether you've got more, whether your status is higher than somebody else. But a relationship with God is to be thankful to God for all that He gives us. And it does not consist in what we possess. Our lives do not consist in our possessions, Jesus said. Tomorrow is called Thanksgiving. And we have great abundance. Variety, differences in your income and what you have and what you possess. Every person who's in the body of Christ has great riches. Great treasures in Christ. and great reasons to be thankful to God for everything that you have, and to be thankful in all things. Do not have two categories, to be thankful to God for this, and these are things not to be thankful for. And that's a sin. You can't be thankful to God for sin. That's wrong. But to break away from that, like breaking away from gravity, to break away from our culture and its obsession with material things, to break away from that and live free of that, and to value people and relationships with other people more than the things that we possess. That's the value. That's the treasure in the body of Christ, is knowing people that you can give thanks to God for, because their faith and their love and their hope in Christ Jesus gives you reasons upon which to know and have confidence in them. And when you pray, you thank God for them. And I would ask you tonight, when you pray, is there anybody that you give thanks to God for? Not that you could probably go, oh, I should give thanks for this person, that person. So you can start to put that together and try to make it. But do you have anybody in your mind when you are praying that you give God to give thanks to God for a person, because you keep in mind that their faith, their love, their hope that they have in Jesus, and for those reasons, you give thanks to God? There's so little of that possible in our time. There's so little of that possible in our time. And that's a measure. That's a measure of the emptiness and shallowness and need for a radical change in the body of Christ, the professing church, Gospel Truth Fellowship. It's a measurement of how far away we are from how the body of Christ is supposed to be and think of one another in the body of Christ. Paul says, I give thanks for all of you. He doesn't say, I give thanks for some of you. I give thanks for half of you. I give thanks for a third of you. I give thanks for all of you. And it speaks of a level of confidence between parties based upon their faith, their faithfulness. They could count on one another. They were all laboring together in love. They were all laboring together in faith. They were all laboring together in hope. Isn't that radical to think of a group of people who would have that element in their relationship with one another? Paul would write in this, when I could stand it no more, I had to send Timothy to you to see how your faith was. Not to see if everybody had a job. Not to see if all the kids were well. Not to see if you had enough bicycles for all the kids. I wanted to see how your faith is, because that's all that matters. That's all that matters, is whether we are people who are trusting God and our lives are shaped by our trust in God. And that faith, that kind of faith works by love. It overcomes the world. It's the basis upon which people trust one another and will lay down their lives for one another and work together in confidence with one another and in one another. And they thank God for others that are of like mind, like faith. Now, for that to come about, you have to be You have to be the kind of person that you would give thanks to God for in another person. You have to be a person who has this labor of love and faith and hope for another person to, over time and relationship with you, come to see that you're a person who does have a labor of love and faith and hope, and that they would give thanks to God for knowing that you are of that kind of a person. You must be that person yourself, that you may offer that to others to get acquainted with, to interrelate with, and come to trust and have confidence in. But above all else, we owe the most gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person alive today owes their life to Jesus. Every person, not just every member of the body of Christ, every person is alive and permitted to live day by day because Jesus Christ made an atonement for them, for you, for me. If Christ had not been appointed to make reconciliation to the Father through the blood of His cross, God would not have been patient and forbearing to permit people to live on. It's only the atonement of Jesus Christ that makes the forbearance of God justifiable. And so the sinners live today. Each one of us lives today because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. Every sinner owes a debt of gratitude to God that he is still living. Every breath the sinner takes is a gift of God, because it's at the forbearance of God, at the endurance of God. And every sinner breathes that breath in defiance of the will of God. He takes the gift of God, of life and breath, and he breathes it out to gain more energy to go on in his sin. The epitome of ingratitude. Every person owes their life today to the blood of Jesus Christ, his atoning blood. It's only because of that God can rightly forbear and not bring judgment immediately upon the whole world. So every sinner in this world owes a debt of thanksgiving to God for the blood of his Son. They just refuse to acknowledge it. They just refuse to be thankful. And in being thankful, receive their life and Jesus in His blood with the purpose that God gave it for, that they may be reconciled to God. But tomorrow, in Thanksgiving Day, people are going to be thankful for turkeys, they're going to be thankful for family, they're going to be thankful for food, they're going to be thankful for their possessions. For us, we are to be thankful to God for all good things, because they come from Him. And I trust that you have people in mind that you can be thankful to God for their faith and love in Jesus Christ. I trust that your Thanksgiving tomorrow will have that element to it. That you really will be thankful for the blood of Jesus, be thankful to the Father for His blood, and be thankful to God that you know people who love Him and are faithful to Him. And let your heart be drawn up to that level of what to be thankful for and who to be thankful to. We're going to dismiss early tonight. You can think about that and apply it to your life. Father, we are thankful to You, for You are good, for Your loving kindness is everlasting, Your faithfulness is to all generations. Father, we are thankful to You for the blood of Your Son and the reconciliation of the world to Yourself through Him. Father, we are thankful to You for the great salvation, this indescribable gift of Your Son. Father, we are thankful to You for the knowledge of any and every person who loves You and trusts You and has their hope in You. We're thankful for every person that our hearts are confident that they are one of Your children. Lord, we are greatly blessed materially, but we thank You, Father, most of all, that Your great forbearance has made it possible for us to live and come to know You and to have life eternal. For this, Father, we are supremely grateful. And in our gratitude to You, we submit to Your will to live out our lives according to the reason You give us our lives and to live them in harmony and in conjunction with Your will for us. Lord, I pray that as we consider these things, the significance of being thankful will rise up in our hearts, and we will be thankful to You, Father, and not just thankful for thanks. Let our thanksgiving at this time be directed towards You and our relationship with You. Rise it up in our hearts, dear God. May we truly construct everything at this day of thanksgiving as directed to You, from whom every good thing comes. We thank You for it, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And be thankful.